I thank the Lord for this opportunity to have fellowship with you once again. Although I'm standing here, you're seated there, but we're having fellowship together. I've been obtained encouragement from your thirst and hunger for the Word of God, and I'm here also to share. So we fellowship one another and encouraging one another. We having fellowship together, and let us grow together to the maturity so that the Lord may be glorified and that the Lord may enjoy the fruit. Shall we turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 5 verse 8? Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Blessed the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is one of the blessings that the Lord had spoken to his disciples during his sermon in the mountain, or we known as Beatitude. In this verse, I would like to share 3 points. First, the heart. Second, the pure in heart. And the third is the blessing. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21, the Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, saying, "For within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murderers, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." We know that our heart, most of the time, are deceitful. I could say it for myself, our heart is always deceitful. It's not always pure. That's why the Lord is saying in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, says, "Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life." Indeed, our heart is not pure. As a human being, our heart is not pure. Many times there's so many things that occupies our heart, many things that indeed hinder us in coming to the Lord. So that's why in Proverbs the Lord said, "Keep thy heart more than anything else." So we should keep our hearts more than anything else. Many times as human being, we tend to guard things outward. Just this morning, I was looking for my pants because I was thinking of, I'm standing here, I have to look good. But many times our heart, we are giving importance outside. But the Lord told us that indeed we should guard our heart, because out of it are the issues of life. So the Lord is teaching us that we should guard our heart. But indeed, we are so weak. We cannot guard our hearts ourselves. And thank the Lord. The Lord will do it for us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses every understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts by Christ Jesus." The Lord indeed is doing his mighty work in us so that he can guard our hearts. All we have to do is just to pray to him that the Lord will guard our hearts. So this morning, this blessing, we should start from our heart. if we want to obtain blessing, we should start from our hearts. We should guard our hearts more than anything else. The second thing is the pure in heart. We know that pure is without mixture. It's not divided. Pure in heart, we just come before the Lord with a pure heart. With nothing else, without any other mixture of any thoughts, we just come before the Lord and obtain His blessing. I was really encouraged by this. Titus chapter 1 verse 15, it says, "All things are pure to the pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled." When I read this passage, I was really moved. I was really enlightened, because the first sentence says, "All things are pure to the pure." Many times I felt that my heart is not pure, and I can see that my heart is not pure, because in every circumstances I couldn't see the pureness of God's purpose. Many times when I speak, I sometimes have double meaning. Sometimes when I see a person or where I'm in a place, what I'm thinking is not what I see. What I'm thinking is many things other than what I see, what I saw. So in here, the Lord told us that all things are pure to those, to the pure. And also in Psalms chapter 18, verse 26, "With the pure thou dost show yourself pure, and with the perverse thou doest show thyself contrary." In here, the Lord, if we have a pure heart before the Lord surely will also manifest Himself to us. And also in Psalms chapter 24, verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the mount of the Lord, and who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath blameless heart, blameless hands, or clean hands, and a pure heart, who lifted not up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully, he shall receive blessings before Jehovah, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Indeed, the Lord wanted us to have a pure heart before Him. But we cannot purify our heart. We know that. No matter how we resolve, no matter how determined we are, many times we cannot purify ourselves. I can speak of myself. I tried to be pure in heart, but cannot do it. Every time I come to the meeting, not here, but I've been a Christian for more than 30 years, so every time I go to meeting, to assemble together, many times I felt that my heart is not pure. I was going to church with other purpose, with other things in mind, not having a pure heart before the Lord. But if every time I have a pure heart before the Lord, when I ask the Lord to purify me, when I come to the meeting, I just don't mind whatever I saw, whatever the brothers or sisters would be telling me. But I just come before the Lord, and seeing that God is there, God would like to speak, and God would want to speak to me. Amazingly, the Lord indeed speak. The Lord indeed speak to whoever standing and speaking. I remember one time there was one young brother who was sharing. And when he shared, that time the Lord had been merciful to me. So I was listening attentively when he shared. And indeed, through his sharing, his sharing was simple, but the Lord has spoken to me and have changed me. So when we have a pure heart, the Lord can speak to us. Every time we meet together, every time we gather together, the Lord can speak to us. And times when we don't have a pure heart before the Lord, as we come to the meeting, I have this feeling sometimes. When I don't have a pure heart before the Lord, when I come to the meeting and sit down, no matter how good the speaker is, no matter how good the words were, it seems I cannot obtain anything. Because in the first place, when I sit down and saw the topic that he would like to share, oh, that topic again. So you don't have a pure heart, and again, you don't obtain anything. You don't obtain blessing. And so the Lord wanted us to have a pure heart before Him. And so to purify our hearts, we cannot do it by ourselves. We need the Lord, the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says, the Lord will use His Word to wash, to purify us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, it also says, the blood of Christ can cleanse us, can purify us from any iniquities. And God Himself is seated as a refiner. He purifies our heart. That's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. The Word of God can purify us. The blood of Christ can purify us. God Himself will purify us. He is seated as a refiner. He will purify us. So our hearts, we cannot purify ourselves, but the Lord can do it. So we just stop trying ourselves, but submitting to God. By His grace, we obtain eternal life, and by His grace, we obtain perfection. We cannot struggle by purifying ourselves, but we rely upon the Lord. We rely upon His Word. We rely upon His blood. He Himself will do it for us. He has saved us, not just to take us away from the condemnation of hell, but He saved us that He will perfect us. And the third, the blessing. The blessings is to see God. This is the blessing. Every time we have a pure heart before the Lord, we can see Him. We can see the Lord. In the Old Testament, I find two persons who saw the Lord. First is Job. He said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We can see Job here, that when he saw the Lord Himself, he abhorred himself and he repented. This is the condition every time we saw the Lord. This is our condition. When we saw the Lord, we will see ourselves and we will repent. Just like Isaiah said in chapter 6, verse 1, in the year of the death of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So when Isaiah saw the Lord, in verse 1, in verse 5 he said, "And I said, Woe unto me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." Indeed, every time we saw the Lord, every time we see the Lord enlightens us and see our true condition. In that way, the Lord will be able to change us. In that way, the Lord will purify us. So, if we have a pure heart in coming before the Lord in everything we do, we can see God in everywhere. This is the blessing. We can see God and we purify ourselves again and again. I remember when I was small, me and my brother would want to melt a lead. The first time we melt a lead, we saw there's I don't know how do we call that, dirt or filth floating. Yeah. So after we take out that dirt, then it dries up, it cools down and dries up. And then the second time around we melt it, we can still find many dirt in it. That's why in the Bible we have, I think you have read about it, that purified seven times. So I think this is how the Lord is doing to us. We again and again he purifies us, he melts us, he take out the dirt and then melt us again. And the hotter we are being melted, we are being refined. And the more refined we are, the more perfect we are. So in our lives, the Lord wanted us to have a pure heart and obtain the blessing, obtain this cleansing. The Lord wanted us to see Him and see our true condition and repent. And having a pure heart, again, we go in a cycle until the time that the Lord will say, "You are perfect." And he will pick you up from that tree and enjoy himself. In many ways, we can see that we are not so pure. In my service to the Lord, many times I would seek for recognition. Sometimes you are thinking, you are preparing yourself, how I'm going to say, how I'm going to lead. In that way, people would recognize me that I'm good. Sometimes our service has this kind of feeling, has this kind of impure. So every time we see God, the Lord surely will point to that impureness. And sometimes in our deeds, sometimes we do charity to show off how good we are with other agenda. Sometimes we do charity because we want to let other people see and think that we are better than they are. We are a true Christian. I remember one time when I was, this was way back before, I don't know how many years before, I wanted to show kindness to my employee. And so I always I always shared to them whatever I had. The food, sometimes the clothing. And I have this a goal in doing business. I wanted to do business for the Lord. So I wanted to share His blessings. But indeed the Lord showed me it is not because you wanted to do things for the Lord. It is just because you wanted to be recognized. That time when the Lord showed me that, then suddenly I come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Many times we wanted to do things for the Lord, but our intention is not really pure. Our intention is for ourselves. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord purify us many times as He wanted us. After all, we are purified for the use and for His pleasure and for His glory. We are not purified for ourselves. We are purified for the Lord. We are purified for Him. He wanted us to grow. He wanted us to become mature so that He can enjoy. Because He is our Creator. He is our God. We belong to Him. We are not our own, but we are His people. So for the fruits, if we become mature and have these fruits, it is not for the people to enjoy, but for the Lord Himself. So we do everything for the Lord. The Lord wants us to have a pure heart in doing things. The Lord wanted us, every time we meet together, I'm not just saying to you, but I'm saying to myself also, that every time we gather together, may we have a pure heart, just to seek the Lord and none else, so that the Lord can speak to us, so that the Lord can show Himself to us. As He has said, to the pure the Lord show Himself. So may the Lord help us and give us a pure heart. To end my sharing, I would like to share this song too. It's a short song, a song that can be used, that we can sing from our hearts and say to the Lord that I long to have a pure heart, a heart that follows hard after Thee, a heart that hides Your word so that sin will not come in. The Lord is purifying us. Every time He shows Himself, He will purify us. So let's sing together.
A pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows sword after thee. A pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows sword after thee. Your word, so that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, but one you rule and reign. A heart that feels compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. Sweet aroma of worship that rises to your throne.
Once more, let's sing it to the Lord.
A pure heart, that's what I long for. A heart that follows hard after thee. A pure
that hides your word.
A heart that hides your word, so that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, but one you rule and reign. A heart that seeks compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. Sweet aroma of worship that rises to your
have a word of prayer. Lord, indeed we desire to have a pure heart, Lord, because we do want to see you, Lord. We don't want to be blinded by our own self, by the things that we've cluttered our lives with. But we pray, Lord, that you would come and just clean up your house, Lord, that you would come into our hearts and take that rightful place, Lord, that we would serve you forever, Lord, not just lip service, Lord, but you can show us, Lord, what we can do and how we can carry about our day in worshiping you and serving you. We pray this most precious name. I think the Lord has been good, and he knows exactly what we need, each one of us. You know, we're not here as cookie cutter Christians. We all have different lives. We all have different things that we go through. And I was really glad that the Lord gave me a little bit over a week and a half to visit my brother in Toronto. It was a good change of pace. It's been a really hectic year, and
It was good just to spend time with family and also the saints in Toronto, and to attend a conference in New Jersey. So I'm thankful that I can have this time to share. When I said yes, I don't think I really was thinking about what I had in mind to share yet. I think it always happens like that. And it feels sometimes almost ambush. You know, there's fifth week coming along, and you know that question's going to come, but whether it's this time or next time. But I'm really glad that I didn't hesitate to say yes, because as I was preparing, the Lord really spoke to me, and hopefully that I can share about the things that has been going on in my life and to me, and what He's spoken to me in this past while. It's indeed a privilege to be here. I was reminded as I was preparing about the Lord's meekness and His humility. And you can see how much our Lord truly loves us, to go through so much to save us and to bring us into His kingdom. Much has been shared about God's kingdom in this past year. If those that went to the WCCC, this part of the theme was Thine is the Kingdom from Matthew chapter 6. And then at Harvey Cedars, the theme was Walk Worthy of God's Kingdom. So what I wanted to share today with you is just an amalgamation or just a combination of what God has been speaking to me in my life and the thoughts that have been in my heart as a result for hearing His Word. I was talking to my brother yesterday on the phone when I was preparing and figuring exactly what I wanted to share this morning. And he's telling me like how in God's kingdom there's three types of people. There's kings, there's prophets, and there's priests. And being my brother, he's really quick to remind me, I'm not the king. But I'm not going to say that I'm the prophet either, because prophets in the Old Testament times, they brought God's word to the people. So that leaves one left, so priest. And we're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. So what exactly do priests do? We know in the Old Testament time, the priests would be involved in all things related to worship, preparing sacrifices and offerings and bringing it up to the Lord. So essentially they were bringing the people and leading them onto God. Not everybody was a priest in the Old Testament. At first only those in the tribe of Levi, and then continued on with Aaron and his sons. You had to be born into this priesthood. You couldn't just find a job posting for a priesthood and sign up to be a priest, but you have to be born into this priesthood. And likewise today, it is also our birthright in the time of grace by confessing our sins, believing and accepting Jesus Christ into our hearts as our personal Savior. We are now under the lineage of Jesus, who is our High Priest. So this got me thinking about my life. You know, have I been faithful in being a priest in the kingdom of God? I think a part of me wants to say yes. And I could try to justify myself by listing the things I'm responsible for and serving here at church in this assembly. Right? Do this and this and maybe a little of that and every week. Or maybe I present myself to you guys as in a way that nobody questions me or tries to find fault in things I do. So it makes me think that I'm good and in the way that I'm serving. But God thinks otherwise, that this is not all at all what He had died for. He didn't free us from the bondage of sin so that we can enslave ourselves once again by implementing this performance-based religion or this religious system. He died for us so that we can live by His grace to be sanctified, so that we can walk worthy of God in His kingdom. Last time I was up here sharing, I don't know if you guys remember, but I asked the question, where are you? As God asked Adam and Eve after they had eaten the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And hopefully, I don't know if you guys responded to that question to the Lord, but hopefully our response leads us in that direction where we can stop hiding from Christ and start hiding in Him instead. For God has given us every provision by His grace to live for Him, to go through whatever may come our way in our lives. This matter of being part of a royal priesthood gives us an indication on how we ought to be living our lives. Are we faithful as members of the body of the kingdom of God? How is our walk with the Lord? Are we walking worthy in the kingdom of God? Don't get me wrong, it's not my intention to direct you down an unhealthy path of inward looking, but that I may encourage you to look up to God, because it is only Him and by His grace and His mercy and love through the Holy Spirit that will work in you to bring about the work of the cross, to remove things in our lives that have no eternal value, to shake us so that the salvation of our souls be complete and that we receive our inheritance as we walk worthy in the kingdom of God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We are a special people. God has called us to enter into His kingdom. It's not just a casual invitation. God's not just like, well, okay, if you really want to come, I guess you can come in. Or, you know, it's something much larger than that. It's a heavenly calling that we are sanctified, that we are separated from the world, and one day when Jesus returns, that we will reign with Him. So, as I continue to think about this, I thought about this birthright that we have now that we are in this time of grace, that we are entered in, we have entered into His kingdom, not because of works, not because of our goodness or ourself, but it is even more than a birthright that we have been born into the kingdom of God and the lineage of Jesus Christ. As Paul elaborates in 1 Corinthians, how we are the body of Christ. We may think that is okay to not do our part in the kingdom of God as priests, since everybody else is a priest. But when we think about how our body needs to function, I think we should find it difficult to say that, oh, it's okay, I don't really need my eyes. I don't really need to see. Or, it's okay, I don't need my ears. I don't really need to listen. Or, you know, it's okay, I don't need my mouth. I don't need to talk. I guess that part might be true. I think we tend to get into trouble when we talk more than we listen, or when we talk too much, and we just blurt out things that's on our mind. But anyway, let's turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Here Paul describes us, the functioning of the body and how we are put together. I guess if we think about our own body, it's hard to say, oh, I want to separate or sever any part of our body without losing a part of the function. And likewise, we have been called into his kingdom. And maybe sometimes we don't think about it so much, but you know, we think that we're here in Vancouver, we're here in this place because of, you know, maybe it's school, maybe it's work, maybe it's family. But God's kingdom is more than just these things. God's kingdom includes this body, this living body of Christ, and as Jesus as our head, that we need to be under him. So looking back on when I was newly saved, I can say it wasn't a lack of zeal or effort that I wanted to live for God, to be part of this body, to walk worthy, to do all the right things and in the right time, in the right way. You know, I read his word, I prayed, I attended meetings, and didn't doubt the Lord's goodness, and didn't doubt his love at all. And then tried with all my heart to fight off temptations, letting people also know about my convictions, and that had my heart. And even making promises to God to prove my faithfulness to him, and so on. So I wanted to find out what my role in the body was, and to serve God in that capacity to the fullest extent. On the outside, it looked as everything was all right. At one point, I remember even saying to myself, this is great. Everything seems to be going so well, so smoothly. Now I realize, as I look back, that those words in my heart were quite naive and immature, that those words would be fitting for an epitaph, or the words on the gravestone of my self-life. Because God answers prayers. Maybe not in the way that we expect him to. And maybe I didn't explicitly pray to God to bring about conflict, failure, and suffering, whether it's self-induced or as consequences of my actions. But God isn't in the business of creating suffering. But he cares for us so much that not just saving us, he wants us to be sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. That one day when we receive our inheritance, we will reign with him. And God will do anything to get us to realize this. This reality of it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. To get us to realize this reality of Jesus as King of our lives, the King of his kingdom. I'm pretty sure that day when I spoke those words, I like to have a lot of imagery in my head, and you know, like, it's not that God's like hiding behind a building, just waiting for us to turn the corner and like ambush us. But God truly knows where we are. And he truly knows so much about us, and he cares about us, that he knows exactly how to put circumstances in our lives to make us realize that indeed he is king. So God, you know, allowed circumstances in my life to make it difficult, and pretty soon, you know, my self-effort, my self-life and my striving came to an end, and I became exhausted. I was weak, and then as I got weaker, sin became more appealing again, and I no longer had strength to stand up to temptations or even to flee from it. And as sin became habitual sin, I felt abandoned and helpless, because of how it seemed that God had every power in his command to stop me from continuing, but didn't. And he allowed me to continue on to the spiral of death. At Harvey Cedars, Brother Dana Condon, he shared on how Esau despised his birthright by giving it up for a bowl of soup. From the beginning, God has not only called us, but he has been working and molding us into our role in the kingdom of God. And Dana reminded us that we do have a specific role for us in this kingdom, and he is working to make us fit for that role. So are we taking our birthright lightly and not taking ownership of our heavenly calling? Are we in a place where we are indifferent to God's grace towards us? Have we devalued our calling by giving up our birthright just for a momentary pleasure, forfeiting what we were called to be? A lot of times it's difficult, or a lot of times it's because that we have been offended, either by others or even feel that God has offended us. And in that message, Dana continues to share that the enemy is so, he knows how to use every part of our lives, including this part where we can be offended, and that he can use it to bring about disunity or bring about strife and conflict in the church. Or maybe it's not so much that, but maybe we didn't turn out to be who we imagined we would be, or we didn't end up in a place where we hoped we would be. I think at some point in time in our lives, we can relate to Peter in the Bible. Peter loved to talk, and he was quick to speak and also to act impulsively, even to the point of confessing to the Lord that he would even go unto death for our Lord. But we all know what happened the day when our Lord was taken to be crucified. He fled and couldn't even stand up to a little girl and say that, yes, he knew Jesus. So in Luke 22, at this point, before our Lord was crucified, he told Peter how he would deny him. From verse 31 to 34 in Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times. After the Lord had risen and appeared to his disciples, we find the Lord saying to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Only by his love we can love others. And every action that we commit ought to be done as a response to God's love for us. Without God's love, this meeting here would be meaningless. Without God's love, anything that we do or say will be meaningless. Only the work of the cross can produce Christ's character, his humility, his meekness, his gentleness in us. Sometimes we think that, oh, why is our fellowship so dry? Why are we in the place we're in? Why can't we find motivation in the things that we do? Why is there nothing to push us or to encourage us on? But we have to come to realize that if the Lord's love can't unite us, nothing will. If the Lord's love can't motivate us, nothing will. Even though we may have despised our birthright at times in our life for a momentary pleasure, our place in the kingdom of God, or despise our place in the kingdom of God, or maybe we have been offended by others or felt offended by God, God wants us to realize that He wants to do away with our flesh, our self-life, so that the character of His Son can be established in us. If we feel that we have failed God, like Peter did, or if we are offended because of brothers or because we feel offended by God, we need to come back to the Lord now and not wait for something to trigger us or motivate us. For His love for us can bring us back. And He wants to restore His testimony in His church, and He won't be satisfied till Jesus' character is molded into each member of His body. Just like the prodigal son would return, even for the lowest position in his father's household. For if we still have breath, we can turn back to the Lord, and He will welcome us back. And then when we are back, we can truly serve Him in grace, and in turn, we can feed His sheep. Brother Ernie Heil at Harvey Cedars shared on Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and even suggested that we memorize these three chapters because these words came from the mouth of our Lord when He was on this earth. By listening to Jesus' word and living by them, we can once again be on the right path. When we turn to Matthew 5, we're not going to read three chapters, but just the first part. And Brother Davey already shared on one of the verses. But we'll just read from verse 1 to 14, or 1 to 16. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So these words are indeed precious as they're spoken by our Lord Jesus. And when in Toronto, for one morning we did devotions, and he was asking me what I was reading, and I was telling him I was trying to memorize this part, and I'm still trying. I find it's quite hard to memorize things now that I'm a little older than school age. So many blesseds. That part's easy. But we were doing devotions, and he was asking me, you know, what I was reading that morning. And I told him, well, I was reading Matthew chapter 5. And, you know, and then we came down to that part, talking about the salt and light. And I find the Lord works in such weird ways, because I took a baking class, and some of you may know. And I don't know for those bakers out there, I guess my sister might be correcting me or giving me the hairy eyeball while I try to say this. But salt, when used in baking, it's you know, nobody wants salty baked goods, right? Unless you're a really savory type of person. But you typically wouldn't measure your salt, and you wouldn't. But salt, the usefulness of salt in baking is to bring the flavor out. You just need a little bit of it. So when the recipe always calls for like a pinch of salt or a bit of salt, nobody goes and takes their like teaspoon or tablespoon. You should never use tablespoon in baking for salt. But you would never measure out your salt and dump it in, right? You just grab it. I didn't know, so I asked my sisters, like, yeah, just whatever, just do it. Like, so, you know, you just do it. But the thing with salt, it brings out the flavor. Without it, like, it wouldn't be very flavorful baked goods. So it reminded me of that. And when I was thinking about this, and then also light, I'm also taking a photography class, and really, if there's no light for photography, it's pretty boring. You need light to expose, onto that. Back in the day, it was silver halide crystals in the film, but now it's your digital sensor. And without light, I mean, every time we go to class, it's just like we're talking about light. It's always light, and so it reminded me of to think about and to think about what this really means: the salt and light. What is it? Why did Jesus use these two examples? And then we were sharing, and the brother was like, a lot of times when I think about these verses, I think like it's part of the gospel. Like we're here to close a deal. We're gonna bring somebody to Christ, so we're gonna be salty, and we're gonna, you know, make sure that, you know, they're seasoned, or, you know, to close that deal. But really, this is, I believe, the spirit of what this verse is as we're living, wherever we may be, that God has called us to be the salt. And salt is to bring flavor. I don't know, I don't think anybody here likes bland food. But if there's no salt, really the food is tasteless. And so as the salt, it doesn't say that we need to be going around, but and like salting or seasoning things, but you know, sometimes like people should notice that we are different, that we are not just, you know, your typical variety of a person in this world, but we have Christ, and it is through Christ that we can bring flavor to people's lives. People will be like, there's something different about this person. There's something different about, you know, like once they taste a little bit of the goodness of the Lord in your life, and you can see that. And as a matter of light, I know that in photography, sometimes there's a lot of elaborate setups. You can set up light, you can have a backlight, you can have side lights, you can have, you know, reflectors. And but likewise, I think here, whenever there's darkness and in this world, or it's not just speaking to gospel friends, but I think sometimes when we, as a body of Christ, we forget that we need to exhort one another. If there's any bit of darkness in our assembly, or if there's any bit of darkness, that we need to stand up and shine that light and be that light. So these two things, I don't know if you guys can go back and meditate on what it means and how it applies to your life. And I'm also not saying that I've arrived at the destination. You know, I'm still walking. But as we are called to walk worthy in the kingdom of God, let's not despise our birthright. Let's not fall into the trap of the enemy and be offended, breaking unity with brothers and sisters. And let's live in the grace of God, who has given us every provision to live this life. No matter what may come our way, God wants to see the character of His Son, Jesus, in each one of us. Just have a word of prayer. Lord, we want to come before you this morning just to thank you, Lord, for your love toward us. Lord, we spend so much time seeking for things to satisfy us in this world. Temporarily, we may be all right. But Lord, we know in the deepest part of our hearts that we are not. And Lord, that we need you. Lord, to establish and complete this work, Lord, in each one of us. So that this building of your character in us, Lord, that your life can be seen through each one of us. And Lord, as individuals, that we can come together because you have called us out to be the body of Christ. And Lord, that when we have returned and when we have come to you and experienced your love, that we can love you back and to love brothers and sisters around us, Lord. We pray that you would just encourage us, Lord, and to strengthen us. Help us to be the salt and the light of this world. Lord, we don't want to continue on and just live haphazardly, Lord, or to live a meaningless life, Lord. For you have made and given us every meaning and purpose in our life. Lord, help us to live it out. We pray this most precious name.